Appreciate that. Matthew chapter number 7. Now time for the preaching of God's word. Matthew chapter number 7. We're going to read but two verses. What powerful verses. We're going to read the words of Jesus Christ as he walked upon this earth. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. Let's all stand, please, this morning for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter number 7. Verses 13 and 14. In my Bible, I've got a Scofield Bible, and above verses 13 and 14, there's a little caption that's been added that says, "The two ways, the two ways." Verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And this morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled, "Take the Next Exit." Take the next exit. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here, and our hearts have already been so blessed. It's just good to have been in Christian company. It's good, Lord, to hear the songs of Zion. It's good to pray together. It's good to give together. It's good to see, Lord, folks that we haven't seen for a week, many of us, and some that we've met for the first time. And, Lord, it's just a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God. And, Lord, we come to the preaching of your word. And, Lord, you've put your anointing upon this matter of this vehicle of getting the word out, the preaching of the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you would move mightily in the service this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as Christians to be thankful for what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, if there be one here without Christ, that they'll take the next exit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I am a man. Because of that, I have certain characteristics that all men have. I can tell you that I like to travel. I like to drive. I like to get in a cart and go. I will tell you this, in all of the years of driving, I've never been lost. Now, sometimes it has appeared to my wife that we were lost. Sometimes my daughters thought we were lost. But I sometimes have just chosen to give them perhaps an opportunity to see more of this great land than they would have otherwise had. And what they want to do is begin to heap upon me accusations when I'm trying to do good unto them. I remember when I, good night, this has been a while, Brother Tim, we got in that van and drove down to El Paso, Texas. We must have been out of our minds, brother. Got an old 76 blue van. Sister Tina went with us. And about seven teenagers. And we just get in a guy's van and a girl's van. Take all the seats out, basically. Guys got to have room to sleep. And headed for El Paso, Texas. In two vans that probably we didn't have any business taking to Linton. But we just took off, amen. And I got to El Paso, Texas, and had never been there. But, of course, all men have this inborn compass, you know, that's right. My wife said, "We need to find such and such exit." And I said, "Put that map away, woman, you know. I follow the Lord is what I do. The Lord is my guide, amen." So, needless to say, we missed the exit, and I made an entire loop around El Paso, Texas, but I found that exit again. See, most men would rather go around an entire city and find that exit and claim they've never passed it in the first place than rather turn around and just go back one exit, amen. At least that's the women's viewpoint. That's a long way around El Paso, Texas. I think it took us about 45 minutes to go all the way around El Paso, Texas, but just as I had predicted, I found that exit. Amen. Have you ever been driving and you go past it, you know, especially if you've done any city driving, and you're so much to watch the traffic and everything, and all of a sudden you kind of catch out of the corner of your eye an exit sign, and you look over and you're thinking, I still have time to dive, am I supposed, and you don't know whether to take that exit, and then you drive on by, and then you realize you're in a mess, and you're thinking, I should have taken that exit. I took a Cheryl, we went down, me and Cheryl and Hannah took a trip about a year ago, and we went down to Tennessee to go to a friend of mine. A friend of mine was getting ordained into the gospel ministry, and he wanted me to come down and sit on his ordination board. And I was excited to do that. I went down there and sat on an ordination board. You're not looking impressed. I went down there and sat on an ordination board. You say, what do you do on an ordination board? I really still don't know. I didn't know when I went down there. I didn't know while I was sitting there, and I didn't know after I left. But I've been on an ordination board. I just want you all to know that. And I went down and sat on this ordination board. And I told Hannah, we'll go to, she wanted to look at a little Bible college in Lexington. I said, hey, Lexington, I know Lexington. Put that map away. We don't need a map. Well, I want to go. We got to get there by chapel, though. That's okay. I've been there. I've been to this college. I've been to this church. It's right here, you know. And we saw a lot of black fences. We saw a lot of horses. We saw some barns. We saw a lot of Kentucky, you know. And we got there late for chapel. Well, the exit was there, and I thought that was the exit. But then I thought, why not see all of Lexington? How many times are you going to get to Lexington? You might as well see it all. And so again, I went completely around the entire city of Lexington, Kentucky. But you know what I found out, men? If you'll just keep going, that exit will come again. It is great. Fantastic. You know, folks, let me share something with you. I want to give you something from God's Word. We're all born onto the wrong road. In the Bible here, Jesus tells us that there's two roads you can travel in life. And nobody was ever born onto the right road and then exited onto the wrong road. We were all born on the wrong road that's going to a bad place. And thank God along that road there's exits. There's opportunities that God gives you in your life at certain times where you see that exit sign. By the way, it all says, on every exit sign, it says the same thing. It says Jesus. Amen. Every you may get different opportunities to exit, but there's only one narrow gate. There's only one true door. And God may give you opportunities to go through that several times. But we're born onto the wrong road. We're heading the wrong way. And I thought for a few minutes I would look at these two verses and talk about the two ways and encourage each and every one of you to, number one, if you're on the wrong road still, get off. Take the next exit. If not, you're going to leave this place this morning with that sinking feeling of your heart. You're going to see another sign go by, and there's going to be something down inside of you. It's the voice of God that says, you should have taken that exit. You should have taken that exit. And you know what the honest truth is? Life's not Lexington, Kentucky, and life's not El Paso, Texas, and life doesn't necessarily run in a circle. And if you pass this exit sign this morning, there's a chance you may never get another exit, a chance to exit off the road ever again. Let's notice some things about these two ways. Notice, first of all, if you will, folks, let's take notice of the two gates. The two gates. Verse number 13 says, enter ye at the straight gate, that's straight, and what that means is small or narrow. The straight gate, the narrow gate. Notice it tells you, enter in. Then we jump down to verse number 14, and it says, on into verse number 13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Now notice this. Notice it never gives you, tells you, or commands you, or entices you to enter into that wide gate. You know why? Because we're born right. The birth is that wide gate.
You are born in through the wrong gate, on the wrong road, going the wrong way. I talked to a man in Chicago one day, and he was a member of a Reformed church. And I'd never had the opportunity to talk and witness to somebody that went to a Reformed church. And so I said, tell me about your church. Tell me what you believe. I have no knowledge of the Reformed church. Let me ask you some questions. I said, first of all, if you were to die, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, oh, yes. And he was very definite about it. I said, how do you know? Watch this. I said, how do you know that you're on your way to heaven? He said, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I said, wow, that's a pretty good answer. And I said, that's incredible. And I said, do you think there's anything you have to do to add to that? Oh, no, there's nothing we do. Jesus paid everything. Now watch this. It sounded pretty good. I thought maybe a Reformed is another word for a Baptist, you know. Maybe there's a church here that's got the gospel right. And by the way, there are the churches that preach the right gospel besides Baptist churches. And I'm thinking, now watch this. And I'm sitting there listening to this man and going through this with him and thinking, you know, this may be a denomination that may, I don't know what they believe in other areas, but maybe they've got the gospel right. But watch this. Now, I don't know if this is what all Reformed churches teach or believe, or whether this man just had this personal belief. But I kept asking question after question after question. And finally, I thought to myself, this man saved. And I said, well, that's tremendous. Let me ask you one more question. At what point in your life, give me your testimony, when did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? When did you get saved? And he looked at me with the most confused look, and he said, when did I get saved? He said, I never had to get saved. I never had to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, my parents and my grandparents are members of the Reformed Church. I was born into the Reformed Church. I was baptized an infant into the Reformed Church. And I've never strayed off that path, so I've never had to get back on. Now, folks, this is what he was saying. I was born saved. I was born on the right road. I was born on the right path. He was believing all the right things as far as what bought a salvation opportunity, but he'd never seen himself as that sinner lost and needing to be saved. He just figured from birth he was all right. You're not all right from birth. It's not like, folks, that we're born on the right road heading to heaven and then we've got to do something to mess it up and then go on the wrong road and then we're going to hell. We are born into sin. We are born sinners. Let me show you that this is true. Let me ask you to use your Bible a little bit, because I think, folks, there's so many things that are being said out there that somebody needs to just say, folks, let's open the Bible and let's see what God says about this. Romans chapter number 5. Let's go there. Romans chapter number 5. Many of you are familiar with verse number 12. A lot of times we don't read the verses that come after it. They reinforce verse number 12. They deepen the truth in verse number 12. If you use the Roman Road's plan of salvation, you no doubt have read this verse to sinners. Romans 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that one man was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Folks, it's in our bloodline. We're sinners. It's not like someone has to be born and they finally come to an age where they do something wrong and then they are a sinner. You are born a sinner. You are born into sin. You see, folks, sin's a terrible thing. Jump down, if you will, to verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. You see, we got into this trouble because of one man, and we can only get out of this trouble because of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, watch this, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. You understand, we're born under condemnation. We're born in sin. You know, our penalty's already been written, folks. You could stamp it across the birth certificate on the day that you were born. Do you get that? Condemned! Condemned!
For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
I want to make sure that we understand that we get this straight. I think too many people's got this idea, well, you're born on this neutral road, and at some point you choose either a path to hell or a path to heaven. Or I'm born on the right road, and then I've got to enter into the wrong gate. If I enter into the wrong gate, then I'm lost. No, we're all born into sin. Do we understand that? We're born into it.
And so when Jesus wanted to make sure this was clear, that's why he said, enter ye at the straight gate. But he didn't encourage you to enter into the wide gate, because we are born in through that wide gate.
Say, well, what is the straight gate? Let me have you go to John chapter 10. You know, I appreciate Sister Tina's song, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, I never get tired of preaching about salvation. I never get tired of telling the old, old story. This is so much fun. I enjoy this. I've got great news for you. If you're saved, isn't it a blessing to be saved? And if you're not saved, Jesus has done an incredible thing for us. We were born into sin. We were born onto the wrong road. Our destination, if we look down the road and would be honest and looking through the telescope of God's word, is damnation in a devil's hell. And yet there's a gate there. There's an opportunity to get off this road, and it's because of Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse number 7. Is there an exit? Is there a way out? Verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And when Jesus told them to enter at the straight gate, he was saying, I'm the gate. I'm the door. If you're going to get off that road, you've got to go through the gate. First of all, we've taken a few minutes to examine the gates, but now let's notice the road. Well, I wish I could get a picture. I'm going to try as best I can to paint a mental picture for you this morning. I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. Let's go back now to Matthew chapter number 7, and let's take a look at the two roads or the two ways. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. The next phrase says this, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Did you see that? But notice verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. As best I can, I'm going to try to paint a mental picture for you. But what I want you to see this morning is this, that one road is broad and one road is narrow. One road is broad as one road is narrow. You know what? In this lost world, the philosophy is, you know what? No boundaries. No absolutes. Just wander the far as you want to the left and wander as far as you want to the right. And you know what? As long as it's okay with you, and as long as you're not sinning against your own conscience, then you're all right. We live in an anything goes world. People are doing the most blasphemous and hideous of sins and trying to stand up in the public forum and justify them as being okay. I mean, if you get out here into Broadway, you know what you find out? Wrong is right and right is wrong. It's an upside down, crazy world. It's all inclusive. That's why, folks, anytime you hear somebody get up and start preaching this viewpoint of inclusion and tolerance, and hey, we're all big one happy family, we shouldn't be judging this and judging that, and hey, this person, he's got to make his decision. Wait a minute, the Bible's still the Bible. God's word's still God's word. Right's still right, and wrong's still wrong. And it's the Bible that sets those boundaries. But I see that one is broad. One's that come on in. Anything you want. Anything you want to believe. I'm sorry, but folks, we have some broad churches out there. We have some broad religions out there. Just come on in. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just come on in and be a part of our family. I mean, the preacher gets up and he doesn't preach absolutes, and he doesn't preach rights or wrong, and he doesn't preach that there's one way. Hey, you may get to heaven a different way than I get to heaven, but hey, if we're all got a sincere heart, we're all heading in the way. Yeah, they're all heading in the right in the same way. They're on this broad path, the Bible says, that leads to destruction. You don't get to heaven by just because you believe something a certain way and you're sincere in your belief. You've got to believe what God has put down in His Word in order to go to heaven. Amen. You can't just do it your way. I'm sorry, America. I'm sorry, America. I'm sorry, the pride of sinful man, but you can't do it your way. Amen. You got to do it God's way. Amen. I mean, God is God. Amen. He has a right to set the rules down. He has a right to say, this is the way it is. If you're going to go to heaven, here's the narrow way. Here's the narrow gate. You're going to go this way or you're not going to go. And I know that's not popular preaching this day and age. I mean, it's not popular with even some called Christians. Everybody wants you to soften it up and widen it out and be all inclusive. But the Bible says one way is broad and one way is narrow. Folks, let me tell you something. You're going to go to heaven through Jesus, so you're not going to go there. Once you go through that narrow gate, folks, listen to me. And once you go through that straight gate, Christians, are you listening to me? Have you gone through that straight gate? Are you saved today? Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what follows the straight gate. What follows the straight gate is a narrow way. Now, I'm afraid we even got a lot of fundamentalists out there with sledgehammers trying to widen the path. There's a narrow way that follows the straight gate. You say, well, how wide is it? It's about that wide right there. Right there. The Word of God sets the boundaries. There is a way to walk and a way to live and a way to be that reflects back to Jesus Christ, the one that got you on the narrow way, that got you on this narrow way. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm discouraged when I look around. If I'd live discouraged if I spent my time on men, looking at men. I'd live discouraged if I spent my time reading and examining so-called religion and all these contemporary churches and contemporary services and worldliness. The church dripping with worldliness. Say, oh yeah, we believe the gospel, but one, you know what? We don't like that narrow way. We want to broaden it out. You know what? Jesus said, listen to me. You enter in at the straight gate, and then you get on the narrow way, and you walk the narrow way. Remember, young people, we sing this song. Remember when you were in junior church? When you were on the bus, walk, walk, walk the Bible way. Read your Bible daily. Don't forget to pray. Walk, walk, walk the Bible way. Do you get this? You see, there's a way to walk. It's the Bible way. Now, young ladies, the world's going to tell you all kinds of nonsense. They're going to say there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing wrong with this. You can dress this way, you can do this way, you can do this, you can treat people like this. There's nothing wrong. It's not this. There's nothing wrong with smarting off to your mom and dad. There's nothing wrong with being disrespectful to the teacher. There's nothing wrong with taking a puff on a cigarette or drinking a little booze. There's nothing wrong with being immodest and indecent. Yes, there is. There's a narrow way. Listen, are you saved? If you're saved, then you need to start walking the narrow way. Why? To get to heaven? No, you're on your way to heaven. But so that those watching the broad way can look over and see a difference. There's something different. That there's something better than what they've got. It's for the sake of them that you walk the narrow way. One is broad and one is narrow. You know, I love the theme verse of our church here. And Brother Klein, one of the things that helped God bring you to my remembrance and cause me to remember to pray for you weekly was when I'd sit in the church service, I'd see that, and I'd remember that God used you to cut these letters out and put them up there for us, and that was God's way of reminding me to pray for you. So in a sense, you were here on Sunday when you weren't here on Sunday, amen? But notice this, folks, in Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Are we saved by grace? Yes, we're saved by grace. Yes, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by our separation stand. We're not saved by our differences between us and the world. We're saved by grace. But watch this. What does grace teach us? What does the grace of God teach us? Well, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know why the lukewarm crowd is so dangerous? Because they're telling you, hey, you can be a Christian, you can be saved, and you can still be worldly, and it's all right. But I'm going to tell you something, that's opposite of what the Bible says here. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us with all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Me and Brother Abel was out yesterday and we visited some folks, and one of them, I won't embarrass the lady, but I was talking to one of the ladies. She was telling me how they'd went to a church, and the Sunday school teacher that taught one of their children was picked up on a drug charges. caught up in it, picked up on drug charges. Finally, when they got out, the church took her back in and reinstated her as a Sunday school teacher. I'm telling you something, folks. We just got a weird, weird way of looking at some things. Now, is that lady saved or unsaved? I don't know. I'm here to judge. I'm just telling you, folks, you go through the straight gate, you're supposed to get on the narrow way. You go through the straight gate, you're supposed to walk the narrow way. You see that? I mean, the world's supposed to look and say, look at that. They're zealous of good works. Look at that. They're a peculiar people. Look at that. They've denied ungodliness. They've denied worldliness. They're living holy and separated before God. I mean, listen, they just don't talk it, they walk it. And that's what draws people to true salvation. We've got a bunch of people preaching a broad gospel on the broad way, but they're walking with that crowd that's on the broad way towards destruction. Yes, they are. Notice the gates. Notice the roads. Notice the travelers. Did you see this? Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and what? Many, many, many. There be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few. You ought to underline many, and you ought to underline few. Let me enlighten. We need to enlighten ourselves. Let's let the Word of God shine some light on this subject. It's almost a standing joke when we go door to door visiting now. It's almost a standing joke. Do you have any good visits? Oh, no. Everybody's saved. No, they're all right. You ask them. They're all right. They're fine. No, they're not. You know, the majority of the people are not saved. Now, is the Bible true or not? Is Jesus a liar? Did he tell the truth? I'm telling you, the majority of the people are not saved. They're not saved. Now, they've got all kinds of definitions in their mind, but they're not saved. Now, folks, listen to me. There's a broad way. I'm going to try to show you something here this morning. I'm going to need your participation. And what I'm going to ask you to do is not hard. Now, for some reason, you can't participate. Some of you are having a hard time standing and doing things. But, I mean, it's very, very simple. I want to build a mental picture in your mind. Okay? I want you to imagine for a minute. Let me just have everybody stand up for a minute. Can I have you do that for me? If you can. And if you can't, that's fine. I realize there's folks with limitations in here. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to all turn around and look at the back wall. Okay? Now, I want you to imagine that I'm facing the same way you are. I want you to imagine for a few minutes that we're all walking this direction. We're all heading this direction. Okay? And we're all heading here. And you know what? Now I want you to imagine something else. I want you to imagine from this edge of this view here, all the way here, we extend this crowd all the way past Lynn, Indiana. All the way to the south part of the county. And I want you to imagine from this edge right here, we extend this all the way past Brazil, all the way to the north side of Clay County. And I'm talking about people just as thick as you see them on either side. And we're all walking this way. Now, let me grab a couple of you. Brother Coy, if you come here, I want you to stand in the middle. Only, by the way, this is something people don't understand. I want you to face that one. Okay, Brother Tim, I want you to come here. And I want you to grab your Bible, your brother. And I want you to face this way. Let me see, Brother Townsend, can I have you stand right here? And I want you to turn around and face this way. Face this way, brother. Yes, honey. All right, Brother Chuck, let me have you stand out here and face this way. I want y'all to turn around and take a peek. I want you to see what's going on. Let me tell you, this is a true picture of what's happening. The masses are heading that way. And by the way, they're heading to hell. And there's a handful of people that have found the narrow path. You know what? That narrow path comes right through the middle of them. I'm glad it's not off somewhere separate. We do walk right through this world. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. Now, we've got a picture that there's this broad road, and everybody's on it. And beside it, there's a narrow road. And they're traveling beside it, going the same direction. Ah! We're not going where they're going. The Bible said that leads to destruction. When you get on the narrow road, you're going upstream. You're going to the exact opposite direction that the world is. And by the way, that's a good thing, Brother Boy. Because you know what? As you're traveling through here, you're looking at them and they're looking at you. And you got a chance to stop one of them and say, hey, how you doing, man? Hey, where you going?
is a picture of the way it really is. You go through a place like Greene County and Sullivan County and Clay County, and you visit 100 people, and 99 of them tell them, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm sorry. The problem is they're trusting on something other than what they need to trust in order to go to heaven. You can all go ahead and be seated. Now, let me show you what that is. Who's on this Broadway? Well, there's many on this Broadway. The vast multitude of humanity is walking the wrong direction. Jesus said it. I think Jesus knew how many saved and how many lost. He said, many are on the broad way. Few are on the narrow way. Now let me tell you where there's the confusion in this. Well, how come people all think that they're all right then? I mean, what's the deal? Well, go to Matthew chapter number 7. By the way, who's on this road? Who's on this broad road heading in the wrong direction? Now you head towards Matthew chapter 7, but you may already be there. I'm going to read a verse in Revelation. The faithless and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in a lake that's burnt with fire and brimstone. You know, when we picture this broad way and I was to say, let me look at the travelers, we'd immediately say, yeah, that abortion doctor, he's on that broad road. That serial killer, he's on that broad road. And that whoremonger, adulteress, she's on that wrong road. I mean, that drunkard, he's on the wrong road. That pedophile, he's on the wrong road. And just like in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, we have a list of some unbelievable people and unbelievable sins. Yeah, let me tell you something, folks. That is the crowd. If they don't get born again, they're going to go to hell. The gays, the homosexuals, the sodomites, they're on the wrong road. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the only group that's on that broad road. See, we got this picture in our mind, and this has been preached from liberal pulpits and until people have become indoctrinated in America, that bad people, these wicked bad people, are the ones on the broad road, and the nice, good people that are kind to others are on the narrow road. But that's not what the Bible says. Let me have you go to, are you there, Matthew chapter 7? Let's jump over to verse 21. Jesus is still preaching the same message. He's just talked about the two ways. And then he says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. By the way, let me share this with you. The will of God the Father in heaven is that you be born again. That's the will of God. And I know it's not of works, because I'll show you the next few verses. Many shall say to me in that day. What day? Judgment day. I mean, I'm talking about church-going people. I'm talking about ministers. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about people that have contributed millions of dollars to religious works. I'm talking about people that have traveled and spent time on mission fields. And I'm talking about religious people. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now watch this. Have we not? Did you get that? Why did they think they should be let in heaven? What was their defense? Hey, they get there, all of a sudden they're at the great white throne judgment. They look around. They're standing with whoremongers. They're standing with murderers. They're standing with serial killers. They're standing with the sodomites. They're standing with the pedophiles. They're standing with all my. And all of a sudden, wait a minute! Lord! You sorted them out wrong! You got me in the wrong group! I mean, when those Blessed Hope Baptist teenagers come by, and they come every single year, sometimes twice a year, I always tell them, get away from my door, I'm fine. I go to church. I give offerings. I'm good to my neighbor. Notice this. Have not we. And they begin to tell God all the things they've done. And that should be what allows the door of heaven to be open. The things that they have done that were religious. Have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, see that? Have not we? Look what I've done! I did this, Lord, and I did this, and I did this. I even did them in your name. Folks, you don't get to heaven by what you've done. You get to heaven by what Jesus did. I mean, it's the hardest thing in the world is to just, Brother Jack, get somebody lost. Just to get them lost. You know what? They're all fine. They're all right. And you know what? There are millions of Americans tromping every day down that broad path. And every step that they take, they're closer to an eternity in hell.
and they've got a string of Sunday school pins, and they've got some certificates, and they serve on this committee at their religious organization, and they do this, and they do that, and they are kind to their neighbor. If anybody says, hey, you think you go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I don't think I've got that figured out. Yeah, I think God's going to have to take somebody like me. I mean, you know what? I've never cheated anybody. I've never robbed anybody. I've tried to be nice to my neighbors. I go down, and I sit through preacher so-and-so's message every Sunday morning, and I even see it serve on this board, and I do this, and I. Wait a minute! You don't get heaven by what you do. See, the hardest thing for an old proud American, I'm just talking about all of us, old proud Americans, is to look in the mirror and realize, listen, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm lost. There's not one thing or not a lifetime of things that I could do to ever balance this scale. I'll be lost if I spend the rest of my life doing everything I can. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His grace He has saved us. Let me show you that this is just not Baptist preaching. This is Bible preaching. Every person ought to have marked in your Bibles, and you're going to use it when you go somewhere. You're already in the book of Romans chapter number 11. Folks, we've got to do a better job of confronting those that are relying on their religion and stop walking away from their door, leaving them with the impression that they probably are all right. We need to let them know that they're lost. That they're lost. I think a good question, after if you die today and you know for sure you go to heaven, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And they say, yeah, I like to say, what are you relying on? What are you dependent on? Why should God let you in? And you know what? Folks, the honest truth is, 99% of the time, they'll begin to list the things that they have done. Well, I've been baptized. I'm a member of a church. I'm nice to my neighbors. I've taken communion. I've been sprinkled as a child. I have done these things. So God's going to have to let me in. Now watch this, Romans chapter 11. Notice, if you will, verse number 5 and 6. Verse number 6 is astounding. It's amazing. Folks, listen to me. We need to preach the true, unperverted gospel, which is 100% grace gospel. Amen. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. Why? According to the election of grace, grace, unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but God's going to give it to you. I don't deserve it, but God's going to give it to me. He offers it to me. Notice this, verse number 6. Folks, you got to choose what you're going to believe in, what you're going to stake eternity on. Because the Bible says this, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Now, how can this be any plainer? You either are going to say, why are you going to heaven? I'm going to heaven because of 100% the grace, unmerited favor of Almighty God by sending His Son to pay the full price for my salvation. And He just handed me, dropped in my head, the gift of eternal life. That's where I'm going. Amen. Or you're going to stand over here and say, well, yeah, I believe that. Of course I believe it, you know, because Jesus died on the cross for my sin. But I also believe you have to. Now, the minute you start saying, yeah, but, or yeah, but you have to, you have tried to add grace to works. And you know what? You've destroyed grace the minute one molecule, one cell of works touch grace. It turns it from grace and putrefies it. It changes it from grace. It's no longer grace. Did you read that verse? Is that powerful? And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So you got to choose. There's only two religions, folks, in this world. D.L. Moody used to say there's the do and there's the done. And the large, vast majority, here they walk. They're in churches this morning. They got their suits on and their ties. Some of them's got even the right Bible under their hand. And they're walking through this. And you know what they are? They're going to a church who preaches a do religion. You have to do this to go to heaven. You have to do that to go to heaven. And they're doing all them things. But you know what? If you're going to go before God and you're going to say, God, the way that I'm going to go through those gates, the reason you ought to let me is because of my works, then God's going to say, let's examine your works. And by the way, look at the judge, great white throne judgment. They were judged according to their... And that's just not talking about this pedophile. It's not just talking about this sodomite. It's not talking about this serial killer and this murderer. It's talking about religious people that felt like, I'm good enough. I'll do the right things and God will have to let me in. God said, oh, is that right? Well, let's examine your life. You know what he's going to do? He's going to put their life under a microscope. And you know what? They are going to fall down and cringe under. Listen, they're going to be standing in the righteousness of Almighty God. And the Bible says that compared to God's righteousness, our righteousness are as filthy rags. And the best thing they ever done in their life, the best things that they were pointing to and hoping to, that came out of their own effort, they're going to look down and then they're going to look at the righteousness of God. You know what? They're going to find out that the Bible's true. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And folks, compared to the best things that you, I don't care, you spend a lifetime, you live 100 years, and every day you go out and you do 50 nice good deeds. And you know what? You carry them all in a big wheelbarrow up to God and dump them at the throne of grace. And God will put the spotlight of His righteousness on them. And you'll look down and you'll see putrid rags. And Jesus says, that's what you're saying? That's your ticket to get into a perfect heaven? Well, we need to get back to this. No, that guy down the road that's teaching baptism generation is not my friend.
Right.
Amen. Okay, that group down the road that says, oh, good, you got saved at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Well, that's good. You know, if you're going to be all the way saved, though, you need to speak in tongues. That's not our friends.
Right.
That's not my crowd. That's not my buddy. They're marching down the broad path, my friend. By the way, I'm preaching this message because we've got kids that come here, bounce in and out of here, come in on buses. They go to one kind of church, another kind of church, one kind of church. They hear all. I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you what the Word of God says. You've got to decide, are you saved by grace or are you saved by works? You go to a church where somebody gets up and says, you know what, I'm glad you made that decision over Blessed Hope. But you know, you need to do this in order to go to heaven. Let me tell you, they're telling you, they're teaching you a works salvation. You need to get out of there. That's a Broadway church. That preacher and that congregation that's believing that in their heart, when they may look nice, they may be nice, but they're marching down the wrong way. And I don't think Baptists are the only ones that preach the real gospel. I don't think this church has a monopoly on the gospel and the truth. But I'm telling you, this book has a monopoly on it. I had one of the most enjoyable... Brother Tom, I wish you were with me yesterday. We've seen so much of this hog one. Me and Brother Abel went. And I'm not... Again, dear, dear lady, I want you to ask you to pray for this lady. Kelly, can I just tell the folks that you got saved yesterday? Would that be all right? Kelly, right back there in the back corner, we went to visit her house. And she was so kind of invited us in. And you get, need to get to know this young lady, all right? She received Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And she had a dear, dear friend there with her. And I'm going to tell you something. That lady didn't get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. God's doing. Is God working on that girl's heart? Wasn't that amazing? And we got a witness to her. And you know what? I got down and opened the Bible and showed you verses I'm showing you right now. And at first I said, you know, what about heaven? Well, yeah, I think of her. I don't know. I'm kind of... And she's been... And by the way, she's lived a hard life and been through some unbelievable, difficult things. She said, my face wavered. I was raised in a church. And I said, yeah, I know, but have you ever been born again? And it's sad, you know, someone raised in church all their life. Parents raised them in church and they just blink at you and look at you when you talk about being saved and born again. And we went through the gospel and we showed her how to be saved. And she looked up at me and it was like a light came on. And she said, well, you mean when my mom told me at 12 years of age, you need to go up there now. So let's go to a Christian church. I'm not afraid. That's the same type of denomination my dad went to that baptized him and told him he was on his way to heaven when he's 26 years old. Heard the real gospel. All that time up to that point was pointing back to a baptismal experience and saying, well, I must be all right. She said, well, you mean when I was 12 years old? And my mom said, honey, you need to be taking communion. Now you need to start taking communion. So you go up in front of the church, do the service, and the preacher will baptize you. And then you can start taking communion. I said, okay, Mom. I walked up there and got baptized. And she just looked like this. And she said, you know what the truth is? You know what you're saying? You know what the Bible's saying? I've been dunked. But I'm not saved. And I wanted to say, glory to God! How hard it is to separate people. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Hodge. I'd rather find some old drunkard, some old blasphemer, somebody that's never set foot in a church, some atheist. And I'd rather witness to them. I've got a better chance of getting them lost so that they can get saved than I do some religious person that's on this Broadway marching along. Well, I did this when I was a kid, and I did this, and I joined this, and I was baptized, and I took communion, and I went to a Christian school, and I did, and I did, and I did, and I did. Okay? Well, I hope the Holy Spirit conviction is falling upon you. Let me ask you something. I just want to challenge you. I can't look at anybody's heart. I'm the only one that knows whether I'm saved, me and God, and you're the only one that knows if you're saved. But let me share something with you, folks. If the whole time that supposedly you're on this, going this way, if the whole time, the honest truth is your heart's over here wanting to go that way, are you really here? Or are you just deceiving yourself that you're here because you're with people that are going this way? Now, I don't understand it. What's going on here? We shouldn't be chasing kids to graduate from a Christian school, and as soon as they do, they want to jump the fence and head down the broad path. Maybe they never were on the narrow path. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're on your way to hell. You better listen to me. You better get this. Now, I know that there's things, such things as being backslidden. I know you can get away from God, and I know you can do terrible things and still be saved. But I'm talking about where there's never been a spiritual pulse. They just conformed, but they were never transformed. Just worries me. I'm just telling you. Were you ever really lost? In your mind, were you really ever lost? I worry about second generation Christians, third generation Christians. I'm not trying to make it saved hard because it's not. It's easy. I just think so many times they almost got the same mentality as that guy I talked to, the Reformed Church down deep. Well, you know what? I've always been this, so I'm sure I'm okay. You're not if you haven't seen yourself as that sinner lost without Christ. You haven't if you're willing to humble yourself before God and say, God, there's nothing I could do, nothing I could ever be that deserves heaven. I'm just lost, God. Give me the gift. Give me the gift of eternal life. God's got it held right down to your hand. All you got to do is hold your hand up. He puts it right in there. You're saved. You're saved. But you know what, folks? You got to take an exit. And every once in a while, God gives you a chance to take an exit. I'm so glad that we had next door neighbors that invited us to church when I was a little boy. And somebody got me to the place along the broad road. Got me along the edge close enough where I could see an exit sign. I'm so glad when I saw that exit sign, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to go there. Look at what Jesus done for me. I'm trading roads. I'm trading paths. I'm sick of this. It's time to follow Jesus. It's time to give my whole heart to Christ. Folks, why follow the crowd? I told him I was joking in Sunday school. It's like, you know, folks, we knock ourselves out trying to be accepted in the world. We're never going to be accepted. We're not like them. Get over it. You know what? We're walking this way. Everybody else is walking that way. There ought to be a difference in what they see. And in closing, let me point out to you their destinations. Well, it's very important, folks. Bible says here, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That leadeth to destruction. Are you there? Are you listening to this? Boy, my heart's burning this morning. Are you listening to this? That leadeth to destruction. You know your mama getting saved didn't save you? You know your daddy getting saved didn't save you? You know going to a Christian school doesn't save you? You know what? Conning somebody and saying a prayer so people get off your back didn't save you? You know you got to repent. You know, you think about the two roads, and we'll close with this. You think about the two roads. By the way, where's their destination? Hell for the broad way, heaven for the narrow way. That's pretty good. Pretty plain, isn't it? You think about the kind of exit. You ever seen taking an exit? Well, they do this in some states. I mean, I think Pennsylvania does this. There's certain sections of Pennsylvania where every exit, I mean, in Indiana, you go off an exit, and, you know, you can go off about 55 and slow down, and, you know, you can go. And then you saw some of those things. If you are getting off an exit, and as soon as you start to get off, there's a sign that says 25 mile per hour speed limit, and it's got a little thing. You better slow down. Because some exits are just kind of gradual, and it gets you off on a road that maybe is not going in the right same direction, but it's not, you know, perpendicular. You realize what kind of exit ramp it takes to get from this way to this way? You better, you're going to come to a stop just about. And that's what salvation is. Do I believe that there ought to be repentance? I can't ignore that in the Bible. How can anybody, you want to take repentance out of your Bible? But you know what repentance means? Repentance means a change of direction. It means you come to a point in time where you're marching down this broad way, and all of a sudden you say, you know what? I want to get saved. Jesus is the way to salvation. I want to get on that narrow road, and it's going the opposite way. And you know what you do? You slam on the brakes, and you get off on that exit, and you turn around, and you head a different direction. And that's what salvation does. I'm worried about those people in this real life, and I love you with all my heart, but I'm worried about you. Because I think too many times we're marching down the wrong way. Hey, you want a little Jesus? Sure! There was no repentance. There was no conviction. There was no changing of direction. I'll just say this little prayer and keep walking. Well, you're walking with the damned towards the place of the damnable.
Right.
You're headed towards the eternity in hell. There needs to come a time in life when you say, you know what, I need to find Jesus. Man, I want to get off this road. There's an exit sign. Hey, we're going to have an invitation. You know what an invitation at a gospel preaching church is? It's an exit. It's a chance to get off the road. It's a chance to change direction. This morning, this is what we've tried to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pastor Ross has done it for years and years. He says, bring them in, bring them here. And you know what we're going to do when we get them here? We're going to tell them there's a better way. I've watched people march down that road for half my life now. Half of a lifetime I've watched them march down that road. And you know what, folks? It gets sadder and harder. It gets worse. The best day you'll ever spend in sin is your first. And the best day you'll ever spend in Christianity will be your last here on this earth. Maybe you ought to take the exit today. You better think about this. You better think about it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray. I wonder if there's someone here this morning that would say, you know what? Brother Jerry, I'm lost. I mean, if I listen to the Holy Spirit of God right now, if I block out everything else, just listen to the Holy Spirit of God. You know what I hear Him saying? You're lost. Son, you're lost. Daughter, you're lost. Man, you're lost. Yeah, but I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. You've done what? You've done what?